Hello, and thank you for joining with us, wherever you are and whenever you're watching this. It's great that you can participate in our joint service. And my name is Ewan Glenn. I'm Minister at Cluny and Money Mass, just in case you didn't know. And I have a couple of intimations from my own congregation, simply to say next Sunday we will be going back to confusing people because we'll have two services on the Sunday at 9:30 a.m. There'll be a regular service at Money Mass. And then at 11 a.m., there'll be a service of Holy Communion at Cluny. And that's always a time for celebration, but it's always confusing because up till now it's been 10 o'clock, the services. So 9:30 next week, Money Mass, 11 o'clock at Cluny. And during the week, our mainly music group continues and our midweek service continues. And I think that's all the news from Cluny and Money Mass. So pass it over now to Neil across at Kintore.
Thank you, Ewan, and hello, everybody. Not much news here at Kintore. Next Sunday is Advent Sunday, and so that we start walking towards Christmas together. And we hope to have all the announcements about our Christmas services around all the churches for you next Sunday. For us here, just to say that our Friday morning drop-ins at 9:30 have started, and if anybody would like to make donations to the food bank, and would like to have a cup of coffee or tea with us while they do so, please do come along to Kintore, to our mid halls, our halls at the back of the church at 9:30 on a Friday morning. Over to Stella in Chapel Aggiare and Blaenau.
Hello and good morning to everyone. I think last week's intimation about our Christmas fair and coffee morning, I said it was 10 until 2. And much as I think it will be a fantastic event, it is actually only 10 till 12. So we'd be delighted to see everyone as much as we can from around the parishes come and support our venture on the next Saturday morning. And we'll have our usual service in the joint service with a Blair Duff next week. And in the afternoon, we'll also be joining Kim Cran in Ohio, America, which is wonderful, the power of technology that we can join in a St. Andrew's Day service there. Okay, and that's all from here and over to Tozi.
Okay, thank you. I don't have much to say. I think if you are to see on my face, I am an excited man. I have got good news from Zimbabwe. The visas for my family are out, and they are coming here on the 25th of November. So I am a happy man, as you can see. Thank you. That's the news from my side. I decided to share with you this news. So I hand over back to Ian to.
Thank you, Tozi. I'm just so delighted by the news. I can't wait to meet your family and to hope that the flights across go so well. And maybe in December we'll get a chance to meet everyone. So I'm just delighted for you, and I'm sure we all in the churches are delighted for you.
Good morning from Kemney. Firstly, we'd like to thank Suzanne Bitchard, Session Clerk from Tarvis Parish Church, for leading our service of remembrance last Sunday. She gave us a moving and heartfelt service, and her guide dog Jack behaved himself impeccably. Loaves and Fishes, as ever, are looking for volunteers and customers alike, and a warm welcome is always given to all. We're open 10 to 2, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Little Lambs continues on Thursday afternoons, lots of songs and games for the little ones. The Sunday School is busy putting together a wee nativity production, which will include several members of the congregation making recordings, so watch this space. And we're looking forward to Tozi coming along to preach to us next Sunday.
I'm going to be opening our call to worship in a second or two, so I'm not going to say anything else apart from to say, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, as rejoicing as Tozi is in his heart, looking for his family coming to see him. Thank you.
Our call to worship. Welcome to worship at the turn of the season. As the temperatures dip, we gather in the warmth of God's presence. As the darkness grows, we seek God's light. As the earth rests from its labours, we long for God's peace. So come, let us together worship the Lord. And we do so now as we start our service in prayer. So shall we join our hearts and our minds in prayer? Let us pray. Here we are, God. We've come from our week filled with many things. Some are filled with joy and excitement, others with sorrow and despair. Some are filled with energy, others filled with weariness. Some are filled with love for you. Others wonder where you are, for they feel far from you. We are a gathered congregation, and we lay ourselves before you with all the honesty we can muster. We give you what we are. Create in us clean hearts. Fill us with your Spirit in this time of worship together, so we can be made holy to serve you holy. Gracious God, we confess before you our complicity in the sins of the world, sins which Jesus felt in his own body and soul. Our hands are not clean. We confess that we have desired power and status and have neglected our duty as your servants. We have allowed ourselves to become preoccupied with the things we own or want to own, freely putting on the chains of consumerism. Open our eyes to the way our lifestyles affect the shape and suffering of those here and those far away. We confess that we have turned away from the hungry and the homeless in our own cities and towns, thinking that they are someone else's problem. We fail even in our most intimate relationships with those we love, showing our worst side to those who care most about us. Forgive us for sour faces, for cold shoulders, for clenched fists, for icy stares. Forgive us for the sins we know and remember, and which weigh heavily upon us, as well as the sins we have forgotten, which meant almost nothing to us, but which have resulted in pain for others. You called us to carry a cross, and yet we complain as soon as the way is hard, forgetting how much we have received and how little we have sacrificed. Take away our hearts of stone and give us hearts of flesh, which beat to the rhythm of love, of faith, of hope, but always love. For we ask this prayer in the name of your dear Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Oh, reading for today comes from the scripture of the New Testament from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 18, reading from verse 33 to verse 37. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I have two daughters, 15 and 17. My wife and I are very bad at choosing names. Now, I know that's a terrible joke, but it's useful to illustrate how jokes work. Because most jokes operate on the basis of a setup which gets us thinking in one direction. We're going to be talking about teenage girls. And then a punchline which thrusts us in another direction. No, we're actually talking about the terrible names that parents give their children. This kind of liminal shock makes us laugh. It's not where we expected things would go. And this idea of liminal shock or being thrust into a different way of thinking is not only useful in jokes, it's also present in many areas of life. Many people who experience moments of tremendous trauma encounter in that moment a new way of looking at life, sometimes a whole new way of thinking, and even enlightenment. In the same way, we use this a lot in religious practice. When you walk into a church building, suddenly you're thrust into a different world with stained glass windows and people dressed in robes and music that we don't hear anywhere else. And we know that something extraordinary is going to happen here today. Now, Jesus is the master of liminal shock. The way that he gets people thinking in one direction and then turns their way of thinking into a whole new area, whole new world. You see this in the punchline to his parables and the answers or sometimes non-answers that he gives to people who interrogate him. And so we have this in the situation with Pilate. His answers to Pilate thrust Pilate into a different world. Remember the setup to the story of our reading today. Jesus has annoyed the Jewish authorities by challenging the authority of the temple. They, the Jewish leaders, want to put him to death, but they can't. They have no authority to hand out capital punishment. And so they turn to Pilate, the Roman authorities, who do have the power to execute people. But of course, the Romans won't get involved in religious matters. And so they have to cook up another charge against Jesus. And what they do is they charge Jesus with insurrection. He is claiming to be the king of the Jews. Well, now the Romans are interested because this is opposing their authority. And for this, Rome can execute people. But Pilate, who's in charge of things, doesn't trust the Jewish authorities. And so he wants to interrogate Jesus himself. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asks Jesus. Now, the expected answer is, "Yes, I am the king of the Jews, and I will call down fire from heaven, and my people will rise up, and we will make this place ungovernable for you." But Jesus doesn't say that. Instead, he follows with a question. "Is this what you say, or is this what others say?" In effect, he's asking Pilate, "Do you see me as a threat, or are there others who see me as a threat?" So Pilate takes another tack. He says, "So explain to me what it is that you actually did. What have you done? What have you done to annoy the Jewish authorities? Are you looking for my protection here?" And the expected answer from Jesus in this situation is something along the lines of, "Hey, buddy, help me out here. We're on the same side. Just let me go. This mob want to lynch me. But instead, Jesus says to him, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, you'd have a fight on your hands. So Pilate asks, so then, are you actually a king? I'm confused. Are you trying to overthrow Rome? Are you trying to overthrow the Jews? What's going on here? And the expected answer is, just you wait, Mr. Pilate. When you least expect it, you will all be murdered in your beds. Instead, Jesus says, if you want to call it a kingdom, by all means call it a kingdom. But I'm talking about something so far beyond your conception of kingship that neither Jerusalem nor Rome nor any other power that has ever existed in the world comes close to what I'm talking about. Because I am bearing witness to the truth, the absolute truth. My kingdom is not of this world. It's important to note what Jesus is not saying. He's not saying, I'm not a king, I have no power. Neither is he saying that my kingdom is just otherworldly, it's what happens in spiritual realms and has nothing to do with this world. No, he's saying that my kingdom is different to anything you know. It's a different kind of power. I'm talking about a different way of ruling, one about which you know nothing at all. Martin Luther King Jr. wrote as follows, what is needed is a realization that power without love is reckless and abusive, and love without power is sentimental and anemic. Power at its best is love implementing the demands of justice, and justice at its best is power correcting everything that stands against love. What does such a kingdom not of this world look like in practical terms? It's a different kind of power, as Martin Luther King Jr. says. Let me tell you an example of an experience I had in a previous congregation in South Africa. There'd been an outbreak of violence on farms. Farm workers were in uproar against their treatment by farm owners, and a lot of fires had been started, property damage was happening, there was a lot of unrest. And so the town manager, the equivalent of the local town council and the police, invited local church leaders to a meeting to gain our support and our help in solving the issues that they were facing. The town manager was the first person to speak. And he spoke to church leaders, saying to them, the churches can help us here. The people who are causing the unrest are in your congregations. On a Sunday, you can calm them down. Tell them not to resort to violence. Tell them to calm down and not be so belligerent. I guess the answer they were expecting from the church leaders was, well, you know, we're so happy that you've asked us to help, and we'll be more than happy to calm things down. What he got instead was a two-hour tirade by church leaders, putting them in their place, asking questions about the humanitarian crisis the farm workers were facing, speaking about the economic realities that were faced by both farmers and farm workers, talking about the human dignity of farm workers, especially seasonal workers who were often just brought in for a short while and had no standing or rights while they worked for a short time on the farm. Talking about political interference by various political parties that were stoking the unrest. You see, the church leaders were asking questions about the future. The town manager was only concerned about surviving the next weekend. Farm workers were thinking only as far as their next paycheck. Farm owners were thinking only as far as the next harvest, and the politicians involved were thinking only as far as the next election. So who was thinking about the future of the land, the future of food security, the future of the whole community, who long after this incident would have to live together as farm owners and farm workers? There's another kingdom at play, not just the petty kingdoms that we think about in the immediate situation. So what does this mean for our situations? How does this relate to our lives? Well, just as the town manager in the story was concerned only about the problem that facing him in that day and not about the bigger problem, so it's very easy for us to get caught up in the daily thrust and cut and thrust of our lives into minutiae, the powers that oppress us in this moment, the worries about our health or our well-being, our income or our family relationships that draw us into a closed, tiny little world. Today on Christ the King Sunday, we encounter the Christ, the King, who thrusts us, shocks us into a space of seeing the bigger picture, the bigger kingdom, the bigger powers that are at play in our lives. And so just as we head to Christmas and we think about those who went in search of the baby Jesus, so with the seekers who went to find him, and with those who stand at the great judgment, the kingdom is surely coming, but always in ways that startle and surprise us. And so as we hear in the poem A Mull and the Night Visitors by Giancarlo Menotti, the child we seek doesn't need our gold. On love alone, he will build his kingdom. His pierced hands will hold no scepter. His haloed head will wear no crown. His might will not be built on your toil. Swifter than lightning, he will soon walk among us. He will bring new life and receive our death. And the keys of his city belong to the poor. Amen.
Let us pray. Loving God, it is such a blessing to be in your presence, to offer our worship and praise, to listen to your word, and to know that wherever we are, you are with us. Receive our thanks. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, for the gift of life, of family, of friends, of our church community, and the many ways we connect with one another. We give you thanks. Almighty God, we thank you for the embrace of your love, your unfailing faithfulness and kindness, for your care, protection and provision. We thank you, O Lord. Merciful God, you know too well that we worry and have fears, that sometimes doubts and apprehensions seem to overwhelm us. Often our faith is little, or there is none. Yet you call us to come to you. Your ears are open to our prayers. Hear us now, O God. We pray for all who suffer, to all for whom this global pandemic is a daily nightmare, for the sick, for those who care for the sick, for those whose jobs are affected and who worry about the next meal or how to be safe, for those battling with loneliness and isolation. Lord, be our healer, our provider, and our abiding presence. We pray for all who continue to live with injustice, whose lives are filled with violence and abuse, those who face discrimination and are treated unfairly, those who are asked, "What did you do?" instead of, "How can we help?" Lord, please grant that your Spirit will move us to collective actions of love and care. We pray for those in authority as they make tough decisions concerning the COVID pandemic and far-reaching decisions for our climate and world. Lord, be our wisdom, our strength, and guide. We pray for ourselves. Grant us grace to do what is right, to fight for justice, and to speak for those who cannot do so for themselves. Give us thankful hearts that would see you in everyone, and welcome all as we would welcome you. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to say the familiar prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now we'll sing the final hymn of our service today.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your Lord and King adore. Mortals, give thanks and sing and triumph evermore. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say. Jesus, the Savior, reigns, the God of truth and love. When he had purged our stains, he took his seat above. Lift up your heart, lift up your voice, rejoice again, I say. Up to their eternal home, we soon shall hear the angel's voice, the trump of God shall sound. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. Lift up. Rejoice again, I say, rejoice.
And now go forth as God's people to love him and to serve him in the world. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.